You're listening to ThoughtCast. I'm Jenny Atiya. When public radio launched in the early 70s, it was the alternative. Today, it's the establishment. So what's the next move? Where does this public service go from here?
My theory is that we've hit a ceiling for the listeners that exist for what we do and the way we do it.
Jeff Hansen is the program director at KUOW in Seattle.
If you believe that there is more potential, then we should reach for that potential. And you have to ask, well, what if we changed it up a little bit so that we, without losing the current listeners, could reach those who would listen to us if we made a few changes here and there?
One of the changes being contemplated has to do with the NPR tone.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle.
Here's a classic NPR voice.
President Bush is calling on Congress to pass a $700
Does this appeal to you or irritate you?
The financial industry.
I think it's a tendency in the way that we speak and what we speak about that holds people at a bit of a distance.
Do you agree with Mike Crane, the COO at Wisconsin Public Radio?
Because most of us that are working in public radio grew up writing term papers, and many of us are accustomed to using a lot of words to do what we're supposed to do, I think that tends to put people off. You know, I have a personal challenge. I have a huge vocabulary compared to a lot of people.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, because words can be sort of like a hiccup in what you're trying to do. If instead of saying a simple word that everybody can get, you use the more erudite word, what? Then someone says, wait, I don't know what erudite is. And they're thinking about that instead of what you tried to communicate.
At a recent public radio program directors conference in Hollywood, the goal was nothing less than self-reinvention. The purpose? To appeal to new listeners. That means young people and minorities. In the past, this hasn't been easy to do. But John Vosey, the general manager at WGBH Radio in Boston, says a new show called The Takeaway is certainly trying.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
I think some of the research that Public Radio International has been doing, some of the work they've been doing, some of the focus that they're bringing to a new show like The Takeaway is very interesting. If they are successful, if we are successful, there is the possibility to bring to public radio a significant increase in audience based around better service to minority listeners. And I think that's a fascinating challenge.
Good morning, everyone. In a moment, the subliminal messages from the presidential campaign. What do, that's right, fonts say about presidential politics? A comparison in just a moment. But first, explicit messages. Hey, John McCain suspends his campaign.
My mom calls this uber naturalism. John Hockenberry in a tank top. And she likes it.
Is it a cynical stunt or the right choice for the country? That's the question for you guys.
Here's another comparison for you. Ah, familiar territory, don't you think?
Welcome to Classical Music from Aspen. I'm Nikki Boxer. Thanks for joining me this afternoon.
What about this?
Let go of the old ones. We've got some new ones. Hold on to the good stuff.
That's Dr. Dog on Morning Becomes Eclectic, a popular show on KCRW in Santa Monica. Jennifer Farrow is the assistant general manager there.
You know, we at KCRW have the benefit of having 50% of our schedule being contemporary music, and it's a great vehicle to introduce people to the concept of public radio and public media. And we hear all the time from people who say, you know, I tuned in because I was really interested in the music, and I ended up sticking around and listening to National Public Radio and any other news programs that we do.
What about the older audience, what people refer to as the core public radio audience? What happens to them when KCRW devotes 50% to music that they may or may not appreciate quite as much?
Well, they have the same options, and they've always had the same options. I mean, the daytime schedule for KCRW is very much news and information, but all that stuff lives online as well. And I think that if you look at trends in technology, you'll see that people of all demographics are migrating digitally, and it's for the same exact reason. It's the fact that you get to see things and watch things and hear things and learn things on your schedule, one that's appropriate for you. So I see them that are going to go there, too.
If you take a look at the websites of public radio stations these days, you'll find entry points to podcasts, blogs, and social networking sites. Take WBUR in Boston, for example. It's got links to Twitter, Facebook, even YouTube, which features WBUR video.
The question is, how much of a priority should those videos be, or are they like a little add-on? It's like giving someone, you know, a chocolate on their bed pillow before they go to bed.
Sam Fleming is the station's managing director of news and programs.
I don't think we can even pretend to think that we can do video or should even try to do video, especially at this point, maybe this will change, with the same kind of effort and values and standards that we do when we produce radio stories. So if that were to undermine our credibility journalistically, then maybe that's not such a good thing.
Okay, now I'm going to undermine my journalistic credibility by expressing my opinion to none other than Chris Bannon, the program director of WNYC in New York City. Why couldn't I have found a quieter place for this?
My personal feeling about public radio is that it's missing a more important investigative role that it should be filling in today's media market, where there's not enough exploration of what's going on with government, with big business.
So what do you mean by investigative? What's the scope of investigation that you're really talking about?
I'd like to find the Seymour Hersh of public radio and multiply him by 7.
I think the heart of what you're talking about, though, is about time. It would be an exponential sort of growth in the size of a newsroom operation that I think a lot of stations can't commit to. And at a place like NPR, it would require a real reorganization of their efforts. And maybe, you know, they'd have to drop show production. They might have to give up a day part or something as sizable as that to really turn enough people into an investigative unit. I think it'd be extraordinarily expensive.
Sounds worth doing to me. Why not cancel a program or two if, in exchange, you can help change history? For the better, of course. Talk about a public service. For Thoughtcast, this is Jenny Atiyah.